Good morning. Welcome. This is Neil. Since we don't have an ensemble this morning, the congregation is our ensemble. So I'd like to run through a hymn that may be new to some of you. I'll just play the melody and sing a verse. It's number 541, if you'd like to turn to that. Number 541. And I'll play through it once, and then I'll sing one verse, and maybe you can join me on the second verse, just as a rehearsal. Number 541. They asked, who's my neighbor and whom should I love? For whom should I do a good deed? Then Jesus related a story and said, it's anyone who has a need. Yes, anyone who has a need. Let's all try verse 2. There once was a traveler set on by thieves who beat him and left him to die. A priest and a Levite each saw him in pain, but they turned away and walked by. Yes, they turned away and walked by. Good. We'll do the rest of that later during the service. We're also doing number 498. Which I think we've done before. I think it's familiar to you. Let me just play 498 once for you. It's Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love.
Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you.
So even if you just sing that refrain, that's good. Let me do the refrain again.
Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you.
And then I can do the verses. If you know the verses, sing along. If not, just sing the refrain on that one later on. Thank you. And now our chimes will call us to worship.
Thank you. Good morning. First, I'd like to welcome Reverend Irwin to the pulpit this morning. Pleasure having you here today. I'm sure Laura is enjoying her day off. Are there any announcements? I think Neil had a couple reminders for us.
Yeah, in the email that was sent out on Thursday to the congregation, there were some things mentioned that are not listed in the calendar of events. So I'm just going to mention those. These are including some new things that Pastor Laura is doing this week. On Tuesday at noon, walking meditation here at the church. Wednesday, Bible study continues at 12:45. Thursday, something also new is evening prayer at 4 p.m. Thursday afternoon. So you can double check the email from last week about those. And you might want to call or email Laura just to be sure those things are actually happening. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? If not, please. Oh, yes, in the back. Thank you, Ann. Yes.
I just wanted to throw out there that Rainbow Connection is meeting on September 18th. It's a Saturday from 9 to 10. If you guys want to come talk about LGBTQ issues and Christianity, that's basically it's just a roundtable discussion, really informal.
Thank you. Anyone else? If not, please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, as we come before you today and profess our love for you and our thanks for all the blessings you have given us, let us not forget how important it is to love our neighbor. Let us not neglect showing our love to those who we pass on the streets each day, those who are suffering physical and emotional pain, those who are ready to give up on life. May we lift them up with our kind and encouraging words as well as our gifts we give here today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now please join me in the call to worship from the bulletin. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbors too. Love even yourself. Love and you will live.
Let us sing number 17. We'll do verses 1 through 4, number 17 in the black hymnal.
Sing, and all creation, everything sings your praises. Alleluia! Your burning sun with golden beam, your silver moon with softer gleam, sing your praises. Alleluia! 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 Alleluia. Your word that blows the tempest by, your clouds that sail across the sky, sing your praises, alleluia. Your morning rises with a song, and light nights of evening, sing along. Sing your praises, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Your flowing waters crystal clear make melodies for you to hear. Sing your praises, hallelujah. Your fire bountiful and bright, remembering your warmth and light. Sing your praises, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. To you, O God, day after day, your planted earth in every way, sing your praises, hallelujah. As savory fruit and fragrant flower, show forth your glory and your power, singing praises, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Please be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you. It's good to be in this place. I'll have more to say about that in just a moment. I think I got the same message from Pastor Laura this morning that I think you shared. Just to go through that again, that Ray Baggett's in the hospital. Let's keep him in prayer. He had a heart attack. Pastor Laura, I saw him and saw Jane on Friday. He's doing well. Marion Major, you mentioned, improving, maybe headed to rehab tomorrow. And Ray Weil was in the hospital and doing better now. He says he misses everyone and sends his love. As we lift these three in prayer and also the concerns of your own hearts, let's be in a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. We cast our eyes to the hill. From where does our help come? It comes from you, O God, who made heaven and earth, and you are our refuge. On this day of prayer and worship and word, we place within your generous light and generous love our great loves, especially the love of children, the love of neighbor, and the love of your creation. For children, O Heavenly Parent, we lift up our prayers for children who are in school now, for children who see life in all the glorious wonder you place before their eyes, children who live in the present and at every moment soak in the gifts of your grace and your humor and your beauty. We praise you for the wonder of children. For those children who face the nastiness that human life shares, we pray for them as well. For those who suffer abuse, neglect, who suffer in conditions of violence, for them we especially lift up our prayers today, O God. For our neighbors, O Heavenly Friend, we lift up our prayers for neighbors who look like us and act and talk and think and smell and eat and play like we do. We give you thanks for the comfort we find in friends and neighbors. But also we pray for neighbors who are strangers to us, and we pray for neighbors who are strange to us, and even for our enemies, we pray, as our teacher taught us, to seek the best for all humanity and for every human being. And for your creation, O heavenly Creator and Provider, we lift up our prayers for the daily wake-up reminders that everything we see, that everything we have, everything we are is a gift, a generous gift from your generous heart, that we did not make ourselves, nor do we make ourselves even now, and that we owe it all to you, and that you ask but one simple task from us, that we have responsible care for your creation and all the creatures within. Bind us together, O God, in these great loves. Holy Presence, God in community, creative spirit, stir us into restless courage until these have become the core of our own hearts and lives, of our communities, our nation, and our world. In Christ's name we pray, and hear us now as we pray the prayer that he taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's remain seated as we sing number 498. Number 498. And join in at least on the refrain if you can, and the verses if you know those.
From you, Jesus.
us out to serve the neighbors we have from you. Kneel at the feet of our friends, silently washing their feet. This is the way we should live with you. Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you.
Our first scripture reading today is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Our second reading is from Leviticus 19, verses 17 and 18. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The final scripture reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your help. Thank you, Neil, for welcoming me so warmly. And thank you all for allowing me to fill this pulpit today. St. Lucas Church has been a part of my journey over the past 20 years. So I'm happy to be here. I may not know you all, but I know the walls of this church pretty well. And it's a pleasure to be here. Very much a pleasure. I also want to thank Pastor Laura for inviting me. We sort of did a trade. I said, Laura, we have a worship service every Wednesday at the Good Samaritan Home. Can you lead that for me? And she said, I'll do that if you'll fill in for me some Sunday. I said, sure, I'll be fine to do that for the good people at the Good Samaritan Home. I was taught when I was growing up in Georgia in my youth group by one of my youth leaders. I was taught a particular way of reading the Bible. And I went to college and got a religion degree afterwards and went to seminary and studied the Bible even further and learned a lot of other good tools for studying the Bible. But sometimes I just go right back to my youth group experience back in my hometown of Griffin, Georgia, at the First Presbyterian Church there. And what I was taught by her was to read the parables of Jesus and to place myself in the position of each character within that parable. I learned later on that that's called narrative interpretation. That's the fancy word for it. But basically what it means is take the spot of someone in the parable that you identify with and consider how you would feel and respond and react and be a part of that. Enter into the story that Jesus told, because that's certainly what he intended when he first told those parables. And so for just a minute, I want to go back, and I thank Mike for reading the story so well. And boy, I'm surprised there's not a Bible in this pulpit. How about that? Luckily, I have a Bible right here. And I'm going to go right back through that story. And I want to highlight who the characters are in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And maybe you'll pick one out and say, that I identify with that position more closely than the others. Give me a second here, and it all will become revealed. Wonderful thing, all these networks floating around us all the time, and we don't even realize it. Here we go. Now, I'm going to skip right to the parable. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So now we have a character, a man on a journey. That's number one. When he was attacked by robbers. Okay, now we're going to take that as a character, even though it's a group of people, the robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Now maybe you can identify with that situation. A priest, number three, going down the road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, number four, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, number five. Am I up to five now? I think so. Yeah? Okay. Somebody's listening. A Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his own donkey. We're going to leave the donkey out of the characters for now, but we could include the donkey, I think. Sometimes it's good to be a donkey. And brought him to an inn and took care of him. And then the next day, he took out 2 denarii, which means 2 days' wages. And he gave them to the innkeeper. And now we come to number 6. The innkeeper, look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Now, you can enter into that story in a lot of places. Because each one of, I'm looking out in the sanctuary this morning. I think all of us have lived long enough to have the experience of being beaten and robbed and left by the side of the road for half dead. Maybe not literally, but you've been there. Maybe you've had the experience of the priest and the Levite. We're going to take those together. And seen someone in need and passed by on the other side. Maybe you've been in the position of the robber who's hurt someone. If you've lived long enough, I'm sure you have. I have. Maybe you've been in the position of the Samaritan. The highlight of our story, right? When you hear sermons about this, it's always go and do likewise, Jesus says. And we assume what Jesus means is be a Samaritan. Love someone in need whenever you see them. And I'm sure you've done that many, many times in your lifetime. Have you ever considered the position of the innkeeper? The often forgotten person who just receives and cares for the beaten man in the absence of the Samaritan and waits for repayment, but who provides the hospitality of the innkeeper. Since I began at Good Samaritan Home in January as the chaplain, I've been around the home quite a bit as a pastor visiting folks and as a preacher in the weekly worship service and even serving on the board of directors, but now on the staff as the chaplain. And as I have read this story over and over, because that is our name, the Good Samaritan Home, and pondered that, I wondered if we might have missed the boat and said, we are the innkeepers. Because there are many, many other Samaritans who have brought those in need to us and who have helped pay the way and reimburse our expenses. So consider the Good Samaritan Home the inn. Now, I want to also submit to you this morning that you are the Samaritans. And here's what I mean by that. In the early 1950s, there was a couple from Bethel Church, which was on Jefferson and Garvin, now on North Green River Road. Dr. Henry Weiss and his wife Sadie. Dr. Weiss was a prominent physician here in Evansville at the time. And he and his wife took a mission trip to China as part of the, at that time, was the E&R Church. And while they were there, Dr. Weiss and Sadie noticed that the Chinese people revered their elders, and they really lived that out by the kind of care that they provided for their elders in the latter stages of their life when they were in need of care beyond what their family could provide. And so Dr. Weiss and Mrs. Weiss returned to Evansville and returned to their home church, Bethel, and knew, Dr. Weiss being a physician, knew the situation. If you were elderly and infirmed, and that, those are the words that the early founders used, elderly and infirm, and your family couldn't take care of you, you had not enough social support or no social support, the options were limited and poor. The options were basically at that time in the 50s, kind of a boarding house scenario with multiple people, up to eight sometimes in a room, no professional care, no nurses, no state looking in to make sure things were done right. And by the way, we hate that process, but it's so necessary. Nothing to ensure that your loved one was cared for as they deserved. And Dr. Weiss thought about those Chinese nursing homes and said, we can do that here. And so he began to gather support, and his natural networks were the E&R churches of this area, of all of Southwest Indiana at that time. It was called the Southwest Indiana Synod of the E&R. And began to coalesce a community of people who also cared. Samaritans who saw those in need and wanted to provide a place for dignity and for the quality of life that their elders deserved. In 1956, they formed the corporation. Our Evansville Association formed the corporation along with Lincoln Land Association to our east. And a couple of churches from Wabash, one in Linton and one in Vincennes. And that was the original Corporation of the Good Samaritan Home, and it still is. They worked for 6 years. And in 1962, January 15th, they admitted their first four residents, and very quickly, in the first several months, filled the 40 beds that they had built. They researched what they needed in terms of the staffing, of the equipment, of the architecture, of the fundraising, and made it happen in 6 years. That original, those original 40 beds, the beds aren't there, but the rooms are. We still use them. Even today, when you walk in the front of the home and you walk past the double doors into the residential area, you're in the original home. We've expanded since then, again, with the help of all of our churches around here. And that's why I say you are the Samaritans. You're the Samaritans who send your loved ones, who care for and steward the home even today. You mentioned Ray Weil. Ray was a longtime board member of the Good Samaritan Home. You are the Samaritan Home. I wanted to kind of give you an idea of what I do and what life is like sometimes at our home on a typical day. Imagine it on Tuesday of this week, I'll be at the home and I'll be headed out to teach one of the Bible studies that I teach there for our residents. And that particular Bible study, if you imagine walking with me through the home, that one is going to be on one of our Pathways Memory Care units, which is one of the units for people who don't necessarily need our medical attention as much as they need a secure place to live and be cared for. But before I go there to the Bible study room, I'm going to stop in and I'm going to see Marcia. Now, let me tell you, this is not exactly a true story. I made Marcia up based on other experiences I had. But the thing about Marcia is that she's been in the home for about 3 years, which means that last fall, she experienced and even contracted and suffered from COVID-19. An extended period of time where, A, she was sick and on an isolated unit, and then, B, when she got better and went back to her unit, she was still isolated in her room, unable to come out for meals or activities or anything, stuck in their rooms for about 3 months. And it had a very devastating effect for Marcia. Not only the illness, but just the social isolation of COVID. Since COVID, she participates in very few group activities. And she prefers the comfort and quiet of her room, but she does enjoy my visits usually, especially when we take a moment to pray the Lord's Prayer together. But this day, when I visit Marcia, she's anxious and she's confused. And she tells me that she's missed the school bus and now she doesn't have a ride home. She's stuck at school. And that has got her very worried about what the rest of her day is going to be and how she's going to get home and have dinner. So I assure her, and this is one of the things I've learned, new to me, is that when I talk with someone, it doesn't matter what universe or time period they're living in, I join them in that time period. I don't tell them. I don't argue with them. I just go right in wherever they are. And so I assure her that another bus is coming. I assure her another bus is coming, and I ask if she'd like to sing the old rugged cross while we wait. And so we begin. I know that's one of her favorite hymns. And so we begin. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And after that first line, Marcia joins in and she's singing along with me. And it just so happens that that day my voice falters and cracks a little bit. And I have to stop to take a swallow and take a breath. But she continues right on. All the way, and when she started singing the words, I thought, I'm just going to let her sing. And so I listened to the first verse and I thought, okay, let's go on to the second verse. Well, she started the second without me, and she went on through the second and the third. It was a beautiful experience. Marcia doesn't know what time it is. She doesn't know what day it is or what year it is. She doesn't know who I am or where she is most days. But she remembers the old rugged cross, and she remembers the Lord's Prayer. Those two things, and they bring her comfort. See, that's what I mean by saying you're the Samaritans. You, just by being here today, you are helping our residents live a fuller life in body and mind and spirit to their fullest potential as it stands today. Maybe you already know firsthand the kind of work that we do. Maybe you've had a loved one there, and you've experienced the kind of care that we give at the home, regardless of the ability of someone to pay. And in fact, believe it or not, the Good Samaritan Home has a higher, what we call, Medicaid rate than any other home in town. In other words, we have a higher number of people who can't pay. We rely on those federal monies. Of course, what the government pays us does not care for folks to the level we think they should be cared for. And so we work hard to be as efficient and productive as we can while still maintaining that high level of care and providing that caring community through an atmosphere of Christian love and concern, which is our mission. And you can continue to help Marcia with your prayers, and I'll have more on that later, but let's get back to her for a second. She's peaceful now. That's called a redirection, by the way. I learned that, that now she's not thinking about that school bus anymore. And so I take my leave after our hymn and after our prayer, and the group of ladies there are waiting in the hearth room, eager for the week's Bible study. They've just completed a... I get to walk into this Bible study after the exercise class, and on that day they've had these big exercise balls with pool noodles drumming on them. It's really fun. I try to get there so I can join in a little bit. They're in pretty good spirits. After the Bible study is lunch. And then after lunch, maybe the most important activity of the day, B-I-N-G-O. In fact, I tell you, I was told I could do anything on the schedule as long as it wasn't 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's the holiest, sacredest moment of the week. The Good Samaritan Home is a special place. The Christian love that founded it, that opened the doors in 1962, still permeates the halls and the walls of that place. When you walk in, you can feel it. Bernie knows that. You can feel it. What those people invested in the 1960s is still there. They gave that place so much love that it hasn't dissipated, not one iota. And you know what makes the home so special? It's the residents, the staff, their families, and you, the Good Samaritans. I'll close by saying that you can be part of this even more. People ask me, what can I do to help the home? Number one, the first thing you can do is, I hope I'm preaching to the choir, but if not, if there's one person out there, the most important thing you can do right now for the home is to get vaccinated. What's happening in the community around us affects everything we do inside the walls of the home. We're not a closed system. We have 160 employees. We have family members. We have an auxiliary staff of volunteers that are in and out of the home every day. If the community is sick, we're going to be sick. And in fact, right now, as of Friday, we have closed the doors of the home to family visitors because we had a resident test positive for COVID. Came from one of our hospitals, probably got it there, brought it to us. We think it's isolated. We're testing everybody. But what happens in the community affects us every day. That's the number one thing I would just say for anybody, that you can help the home by making our community healthy. Number two is, if you ever find yourself or a loved one in a position of needing a place, either for rehab after a hospital stay, or even for long-term care, or especially memory care, which we really excel at, that you would put Good Samaritan on the list of places you were looking at. I'd especially mention our brand new initiative, which is an all-male dementia unit, which is it's really great. We've got 10 men back there. We've got space for six more. The activities are geared towards them. It's really good to have the men and the women separated. Men and women tend to forget their commitments and relationships when they get dementia. So it's been a great initiative. And what we've also found is that wives tend to overwork taking care of their husbands too much. So maybe you know someone who is just overburdened and could use some help. Number three, you could consider helping out at the home in a volunteer capacity. We have an auxiliary that comes in every day or 5 days a week. They help with activities like bingo and other kinds of activities. They help with laundry. They help with dining. And some other activities as well, and also just visit folks in the home. When I got there, they had just come out of isolation. Everybody was lonely. I said, I need some pastoral visitors. So I recruited a couple of folks that just go room to room just to say hi. And I could use a couple of more of those kind of people. If you had, you know, a couple hours a week or something like that to come and just talk with folks. And then the last way is just to continue to support us financially. We are a nonprofit, and so we do have the ability to take donations, and we are using that as an additional revenue stream to help care for our residents to the level that they need to be cared for. Go and do likewise, Jesus said. Be a good Samaritan or be an innkeeper, whatever your position in life is. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I often tell folks that are talking about all kinds of like ethical, moral, scriptural issues off on the side here. I said, I'm still working on that love your neighbor as yourself. Once I get that figured out, we'll move on to the more complicated things. That's my goal. Love is my religion. Let's be in prayer. Oh God, we do look to the hills for help, and our help comes from you who made heaven and earth. You are our refuge. And so we ask of you that you would send us the wisdom of those who came before us, the wisdom of the ages, the wisdom of our ancestors, the wisdom of the sciences, and the wisdom of common sense. That you would guard the doors of our homes, that you would guard the door of the Good Samaritan home from this devastating virus, that you would inspire within all of us a greater capacity to love and to reach out and to not pass by. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and in the power of your Holy Spirit, in whom we place all of our hope. Amen.
Let us sing number 541 in the Black Hymnal. Join along in singing as much as you're comfortable doing. And why don't those who want, let's stand, and then we'll remain standing for the doxology, which we'll sing to celebrate our sharing of God's gifts.
Ask who's my neighbor and whom should I love, for whom should I do a good deed? Then Jesus related a story and said, it's anyone who has a need. Yes, anyone who has a need. There once was a traveler set on by thieves who beat him and left him to die. A priest and a Levite each saw him in pain, but they turned away and walked by. Yes, they turned away and walked by. A certain Samaritan then came along to bind up his wounds and give aid. He took him to stay at an inn until well, and for all the service he paid. Yes, for all the service he paid. I know who's my neighbor and whom should I love, for whom should I do a good deed? For Jesus made clear in the story he told, it's anyone who has a need. Yes, anyone who has a need.
God of hosts, O God who provides all of our needs, we're so happy to offer you these monetary gifts today. We recognize that we're able to worship here because of the generous giving of this congregation. And yet, our giving and our prayer extend beyond the walls of this place, beyond ourselves. We pray that these offerings and tithes will be used to reach out to others in the community and around the world who need to find a joyful trust in you. Happy is everyone who trusts in you. All praise and glory to you, O God. Amen. Let's join together in the affirmation of faith.
You, O God, are supreme and holy.
You create our world and give us life. Your purpose overarches everything we do. You have always been with us. You are God. You, O God, are infinitely generous, good beyond all measure. You came to us before we came to you. You have revealed and proved your love for us in Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again. You are with us now. You are God. You, O God, are Holy Spirit. To proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Thank you. thanks again for letting me be here and to enjoy this worship service with you. I'm so happy to be here. Just before we go, if you do have any thoughts or questions about the home, I'm not in a hurry. I'll be here certainly within parameters of social distancing. I'm happy to have conversation with you. But now hear this encouragement and this benediction. Go out into the world in peace and have courage. Hold on to what is good and return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, and help the suffering. Honor every person you meet and honor every beautiful part of God's amazing creation. And now may the gracious God of our Lord Jesus Christ go with us all to guide us with the light of the gospel and to gather us into God's righteous and beloved community today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.